The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to the radio show, Connected, brought to you by BTC. I'm your host, Lester R. Cox. Folks, Connected is an ideas-driven show with a global perspective that links difference makers and forward thinkers, and we put them in conversations about life, politics, and pop culture. I believe we talk because we have something to say. We should listen because there are things we don't know and can learn. When you put talking and listening together, great things can happen. Because in that small space between talking and listening, change, new possibilities can occur. I invite you to show up in some public place, step in and speak up, even if your voice shakes. Our collective greatness depends on it. More importantly, the answers that we seek, they're already in us. First, the Spotlight Memo. Say what you want to say. Folks, you know, we live in an important age. I want you to think about it for a moment. It is 2017. We are 16 years into the 21st century. Just like wrap your mind around that for a moment. Now, people who are still in the last century, people who are still in the 20th century, folks, this is the 21st century. This is the century where I want you to think about a couple of things that's happening right now. In this century, we are talking in a serious way about driverless cars. I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. We are talking seriously about driverless cars. Not only some of us, we are talking about driverless cars. People are actually testing driverless cars on the road. You may think this is not important to a place like the Bahamas, but you should really think differently about that. Because when you get driverless car thinking in your head, you operate and think about your society in a different way. It's like when you land a man on the moon. The minute you land a man on the moon, your society changes because you know what? The sky is no longer the limit. Folks, think about some of the things that driverless cars causing us to think about. And I'm going to give you one that's relevant to the Bahamas. When you think about the cost of solar power in the United States right now, it's about 4 cents a kilowatt hour in the sunniest places. Just wrap your mind around that for a moment. You know how much it's 4 cents? You know what's the average cost of electricity on this island called New Providence? is well over 30 cents. Think about that, folks. That's like 4 divided by 30 is like, what, that's like almost 7 times, 4, 7 to 28. Like 700% different. Somebody in Abu Dhabi, they gave the government there a quote for solar power at 2.4 cents a kilowatt hour. Think about that, folks. Any of you familiar with this guy named Elon Musk? Elon Musk says by 2020, he expects what something that costs $1,000 right now, a kilowatt hour for batteries, he expects that cost to go down to $100. That means for me and you, who may have a typical house where you use 6 kilowatts per hour, that means the batteries for your house will cost about $600. Think about that, folks. If we think about the future, right, BPL has no future. Because for the most part, the cost of electricity will be zero. We can't even wrap our mind around such thoughts in the Bahamas. In fact, a lot of investors don't come to the Bahamas because of our energy costs. In fact, our international airport got a huge problem. Energy costs, too high. And they're thinking about it too in the context of solar. But guess what, folks? They're not talking to the people who can produce electricity, solar electricity, at 2 cents a kilowatt hour or 4 cents. We're not having those conversations yet. But I'm telling you, somebody in the world, they are having those conversations. And I put it to you that if we get our minds right, we can begin to have those conversations as well. And not only have those conversations, we can be important players in those conversations. Let me just tell you a couple things again. We live in an age where the world's largest taxi company owns no cars, Uber. Facebook, the world's most popular media outlet. A media outlet that we know that probably helped change the American government, helped create a president. They own no media. They don't create the media. They let you create the media. Or Alibaba, the world's most valuable retailer, the fella say he's got no inventory. Or Airbnb, we talk about that in the Bahamas every now and then, the world's largest accommodations provider. They own no hotels. What they own, though, is a simple thing called an algorithm. They own a program. Think about that. And you know what's interesting about, say, the Facebook program or the Airbnb program? Anybody can copy it. You know, think about that, folks. The Bahamas, I mean, do we own any algorithms? We in the travel business. Do we own any Expedias? Are we talking about things like that? No, we're not having those conversations. But guess what, folks? If you check our stats, more than 60% of our business in the tourism sector is coming via companies like Expedia, Travelocity. Folks, we're not even having that conversation. Why? I don't know. I will tell you 2 more things before I stop this morning. Anybody know who leads the world in bulletproof clothing? Bet you won't know that. Google it when you get a chance. Or like, who leads the world in digital money? You would think it would be like Great Britain or the UK or say somewhere in America. Kenya, folks. Kenya. Kenya is leading the world in digital money. I'm just amazed by that. I am jealous. I wish we in the Bahamas, I wish we could be important in like some. I know it's in our power to do so. We've got Rhodes Scholars. We've got Olympic athletes. In fact, folks, I think we can do great things if we like reorganize our minds to start to think about important things besides nonsense. I'm reading a book called The Driverless Car: How Our Technology Choices Will Change the Future. Well, folks, I like the conversations we are having right now in this Bahamas. We have not had this kind of conversation since 1992, where we are asking a question like, should the central government be responsible for rebuilding areas or providing services where you're only serving like 10 people? Like, I always think that's retarded. But at least we're having a conversation. Let's continue to have the conversation and let's see where the conversation goes. You think about it. And now, today's poll question. All right, folks, this is a simple one for you. Can small countries be important players in the global context? I'm looking for like three responses from you today. Yes, Lester, small countries can be important players in the global context. Or no, Lester, we just ought to take our place, sit small, and let the big boys figure things out, and then we enjoy what the big boys figure out. And, you know, that's a strategy. Or, Lester, think about this. The numbers to call if you want in on this conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, my text line, 422-4796. There we go. We got some of the world's, I know one thing about the Bahamas, we got some of the world's fastest texters. Look, corruption killing small nations. Looking at downtown Nassau for the past couple days post-Irma, it looks like a ghost town without cruise ships. We must move away from the tourism model. Hashtag diversify. Interesting. Lester, you need to do a show on Bitcoins. Boy, you got that right. You know, I'm just trying to figure out like how I can explain Bitcoins.
Amen.
I don't know how to explain it. Lester, an algorithm and a program are not the same. Duh. The algorithm is a small but powerful component of a larger program. It handles a specific part of the program. You are half right. Hashtag love the show. Let me see how I can respond to that. All right, I got it. See, that's like trying to say an algorithm and a program are different things. It's like trying to say money in check. Well, no, I got to figure out how to deal with that. All right. Good morning, Lester. The conversation we need to be having now is rebuilding a new Bay Street, and then we can bring in the cars. Boy, you see now, I got a problem with that. I'm not going to use public funds to fund private enterprise when all the public getting out of it is a job. That's like retarded. Now, if the people on Bay Street, the people who own those properties on Bay Street, if they understand that if we can't have like public housing downtown, then we can't do no business with you downtown. So we have to think air rights. We have to think, okay, Bay Street owners, we let y'all have the first floor. Second floor belongs to the people. All right? Now, if we could have that kind of conversation, yeah. Otherwise, let the fellas on Bay Street, let them keep figuring out their stuff. Because in the overall scheme of an important economy like ours, cruise passengers, they ain't all that important. All right. Let's see. Residents and natives of Rugged Island is embarrassed or embarrassed to learn that Wayne Monroe was born there because he's not an example of them having put his... No, I'm not gonna go there with you. Boy, this radio is something else. Small is agile. We can become first and leaders in all digital areas. We are already number one in digital preparedness. Critical thinker. Now, critical thinking, you got to help me now. You got to help me wrap my mind around that because I don't know about that. Algorithm is the process of programs. Bang, bang. See, you know, I know there's some people that are smarter than me. I don't pretend to be the smartest. Mr. Cox, you're a city boy. You will never understand island life. And you know what? I don't want to understand island life because I want to live in the city. Yeah. You all people who want to live on the island, no problem. Just go ahead. Island life is the best life we in the Bahamas can have. No, it's not. All right. Someone saying island life is the best life. No, it's not. City life is the best life you can have. All right. Simba, let me take one call before I bring in Suzanne. All right. Caller, go ahead. You unconnected.
Lester Carr.
This is the man.
Now, this is a city, right?
Right.
Now, we spend all our money on roads, right, and break dreams. But when I go to my condo, right?
Right.
I can see, Google this word, street sweeper.
Well, say that again?
Street sweeper. That's a truck. Street sweeper and a vacuum truck.
Okay.
They suck out all that mud, all the drains. Like 3 times a month. Every night at 12 o'clock,
right.
I hear that truck sweeping the roads. That's because of all this mud and rain and flood here. We build them drains, but we don't clean them.
Yeah, hey Robert, I'm driving downtown, right? And I'm looking at the fellas trying to clean the drain when they fall. It's like
in fact, they just sweep the dirt in the drain. Why we don't have a street sweeper truck here? Or two of them clean from Bay Street down from Stars. Then we don't have a big vacuum truck. It's a big truck with a big can at the back.
Well,
it sucks all that mud out the drains.
Now, Robert, you know about these things, right? You know, I am going to give our country a gift.
Remember now, every weekend, every MP or cabinet minister go to Miami to play.
Right.
Why they don't learn?
Yeah, they don't pay attention.
Every weekend they go to Miami for free.
Yeah, they don't pay attention.
Why they come back here and play dumb?
Yeah.
Why?
You need to help me understand that one.
And we pay a lot of taxes here, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And we don't have, listen, the police have one chopper. The Bahamas government don't own one chopper. Why? Why? Where the money going?
Yeah.
Who in charge? Bobo the fool? Go to Miami and see how a city is being run. They'll help you. They have plenty of money, plenty of things.
Yeah, but...
Go and partner with the mayor.
Yeah, and our boys, you know, Robert, the people who run our country and who run our civil service... They are educated, savvy, but
yes,
when they go
to college,
yeah, when they go
when
away,
they come back home and play dumb.
Yeah, no, but when they go away, though,
still.
Yeah, when they go away, they obviously don't pay attention to what's going on.
No, they like it how it is. We living in mud,
right?
But they go on Bahamas jet every weekend. I see them driving the best cars in Miami, but go and partner with the mayor. And see how the city is done.
You know what we need to do? We probably need to take them with them fancy Toyota and what kind of cars they like to drive? They like to drive the Kia, right? We need to put them on
the Avalon, the Kia. I see the Kia Roos and the Kia, all this stuff. Now put them in mini something.
No, Robert. You know what we do with them? You know, if you go to New York, they have these city bikes, right? It's like city bikes sponsored like these bicycles all over the city.
Listen. Bloomberg weighs $46 billion.
Right.
He got the train to work. And he paid $1.
My. Robert, man, always a pleasure. All right, let me take one more call. Simba, go ahead, one more call. Caller, go ahead, you're unconnected. Go ahead, caller, you're unconnected. Not there. All right, folks, we see your text. We're going to try to get to them. All right, drum roll, Simba. Folks, it's Thursday, and if it's Thursday, that means we've got the most direct woman in radio. Former Lyford Key head. She was the queen of Lyford Key. And let me tell you something, folks. We had a show with Glennis Hannah Martin, with Erin Green the other day. Suzanne Black should have been on that show. But anyway. Anyway. Businesswoman, consultant, Suzanne Black. Suzanne, always a pleasure to have you in studio.
Thank you. Pleased to be here, Lester. That would have been an interesting
show.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. You're... So Glennis Hannah Martin sitting down in the chair where you are sitting right now.
Yes.
Erin Green was on the next side.
Yes.
And like while she's talking, I'm just saying, like, Suzanne, you don't be into all of this.
Well, you know, there's plenty of time ahead. God willing.
Yeah, we gotta
creek don't rise.
Yeah, so whenever I get Glennis Hannah Martin back on the show,
you let me know.
I'm gonna make sure you're there.
Well,
you
all
know,
right.
You know, she reminded me of something that I didn't think about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's amazing when you're a radio personality, people tell you stuff all the time that you can't think about. I'm telling you. Like, you know, she told me, Celeste, per capita, we get more Rhodes Scholars than any other country in the world.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've heard that. And I met, I was at dinner with one of them the other night. Matter of fact. Yeah, well, that would have been interesting, but, you know, if it's meant to happen, it will. I'm sure, Lester, I'll leave it in your good hands.
No, we got to make some things happen.
I'm right here. If you want me to be on the show, just let me know. Driverless cars, Celeste.
Right.
There's recently been an article published that when an accident occurred in a driverless car because something happened, that human intervention was needed.
Right.
So, obviously, perfection is not ours yet with regard to driverless cars. But it is probably the future for many people.
Right.
Probably.
But not only that, see, the concept of driverless cars, you've got to think about what that concept does to other things.
Well, sure. It's a knock. Everything is a knock-on effect because
correct.
Nothing exists in a vacuum.
Ditto.
I agree. Where we can, though, immediately make progress as a country is in areas in which we have just about total control. For example, more courtesy, more efficiency, more kindness, more honesty, more diligence. While we are engaged on finding what's going to make the country great, that would make someone like yourself feel, all right, right, that makes the country great. I suggest we should be focusing on these basic qualities of behavior and attitudes and conduct, because that greatly impacts what we have now, which is the tourism industry. And if we look after what we have now to help it be as productive as possible, I suggest that frees us up to have space to go out and do other things.
But Susan, now, I want you to think about this for a moment.
I will.
Think about the Titanic.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Right? I want you to just think about the Titanic one moment. You could be as courteous as you want.
Yes.
That boat going down.
Yes. Yes, but that's a different kind of scenario. Unfortunately, we are on rock solid ground when it comes to tourism. We do know what we're doing, but
Susan,
we could do it a lot better.
I was
it's
looking
not
at
a new ship.
So every year we have this thing from the IMF. It's called the Article 4 conversation.
All right.
I was looking at that, and I was looking at the government's response, and I was looking at what the IMF was saying. And let me tell you something. All I saw on that was strictly status quo. Nothing changing.
Well, one gets two responses. What I usually get when I say things is, well, we've got to give the government more time. I do think that they're endeavoring to do the right things, the right reasons.
Right.
But I think we're still overgoverned and undermanaged. And I think where we need to get
or
to...
We don't, or the problem...
Where we don't expedite quickly enough. For example,
right.
let me give you one example. The numbers. I know I keep talking about the numbers, but...
You mean the numbers
well,
business?
The government gets in and says, we are broke. Yes?
Right.
All right. Now, before they came to office, they knew they had a business going on in the Bahamas from which the people of the Bahamas benefit very little, right or wrong?
No, I haven't even argued that. I don't see the numbers business as a big problem the way a lot of people do.
It's a question... It's impoverishing places like Long Island.
No,
yes,
it's not.
Talk to people who live in the areas and they will tell.
Susan.
Talk to people that have gone where the numbers are happening at 1 and 2 in the morning with mothers who've left their children at home.
Susan, if a mother gets
nonsense.
A number... No, that's the... No. She don't have to go there if she don't want to.
Of course she doesn't have to go there, but it becomes a disease. Yes, it does. You talk to some psychiatrist.
Susan, that's just an excuse.
It's not an excuse. Well, whatever, why people get there is one thing.
Right.
And we need specialists to debate that. What I'm saying is that a lot of people are there, and under the present structure for this particular industry, the people are not benefiting as much as they ought to benefit.
Now you could make that case. You could make the case that we should adjust the payout rules. Yeah, I could deal with
all
that.
All right, fine. Well, I said it in a way that maybe someone like yourself is more comfortable.
Right.
Gee, that makes me happy. But here's the deal. We must get on top of this BPLBEC.
Oh, no question about that.
Because now I want to say there is a gentleman called Assistant Manager Mr. Wood. He was assisted by Mr. Delavaux. They had a hardworking team.
Now, what are you talking about now?
But my personal experience is the electricity went off in my area, not just in my...
Oh, you're talking about recently?
Yeah. It went off Tuesday at about 4 o'clock.
Right.
And I think I got it on just for 10 o'clock last night.
Right.
Because they had to replace the cable. Why? Well, a lot of the equipment that was installed has not been updated. Guess what?
Right.
Same thing goes for Cable Bahamas. Guess what? That's the rule rather than the exception.
You better watch yourself. Them Cable Bahamas boys, they're on the cutting edge. They might call the show and spank you up.
They could spank me up if they wish, but since I have the actual experience and I made notes, I know whereof I speak.
Interesting.
They are not going out dating, and if we want to be state-of-the-art, see, because Lester, it has to be balanced development. Otherwise, we won't pull it off.
Interesting. We got to follow
spank
up on this
up.
On this numbers conversation. All right. Folks, we got a double treat for you in the studio. You know what I could do? All right, I could touch on this pastry thing a little bit. So we got.
Well, they're not your sponsors yet, last.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you get to
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got gentleman to sponsor you.
We got like a Bay Street man in the studio right here. So we can ask him with this Bay Street thing in a minute. All right, Simba, give me a drum roll. Folks, we've got the man who knows how to make things beautiful. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, he know how to make like a, if you are in a wedding, Suzanne, like when you get married, right?
You mean when I get married again?
All right. You know, there's one thing you
been there once.
There's one thing you have to have at a wedding when you get married. So what's that one thing?
Beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
And plants.
Yeah. Folks, we've got the owner of Nassau Florist. And you know, see, this is like close to Bay Street business as you can get. What do you say?
Let me put it to you this way: if it is from a perspective of having to be diligent,
right,
up to date, and really provide good service, yes.
Right. Jim Whitehead, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, Lester. It's great to be here.
Yeah. See, now, Jim. Now, I know you didn't come here to talk about this, right? But let me tell you something about this show.
Here we go.
This show, the conversation flow where they flow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So you're on Daza Street, so you know you guys had a lot of flooding the last couple of days.
Yes, we did.
So you need like to be walking when you're on Daza Street when it's flooding.
Yeah, well, actually in the garden that surrounds the shop, we had to build a platform so we could get to the cooler.
Oh, you
I
built
mean, a, before
you built a platform. Yeah. To get to your flowers?
Above the grass, yeah, because there was so much water, you know, so we could get out of the shop.
But Bay Street floods as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So for some reason...
Dashwell Street is really bad, though.
All right, so it's a relative scenario, yeah. But nonetheless, why do we keep building and not providing for these needs
right.
is the real question.
Let me hear you answer that.
Why do we keep building?
Right.
And not provide for needs, yes. I mean, have you had the chance to speak with the authorities? Has government said, well, we're going to do something? No?
No. You know, I rent this place, Suzanne, right. You know, and my landlord, Dwayne Gibson, he does have a pump. They're pumping water out of the parking lot.
But does it work? Does it work?
Yes, it does. But when it gets like it was this week, you know.
No, you can't get away from the downpour. It was a downpour. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to like park somewhere else for the...
And we're actually getting water coming into the property from a neighbor's property.
Who is doing nothing. Mm-hmm.
And that floods our area.
Of course.
Oh, that must be annoying.
You know, so we need to do something about that.
Interesting. So I mean, you know, you've been in business in the Bahamas for a while now.
Yes.
And you've seen a lot?
Yeah, well, I've been here 50 years, so I've gone through quite a few
hurricanes. 50 years, Jim.
I think Suzanne and I have known each other that long, right?
A long time.
Wow.
Long time.
Wow. Right. So, I mean, what's your take on Irma and all this price gouging and what's going on in business around this
place? I really think that is disgraceful. You know, the people in business here, there's a lot of construction goes on here, right? There's the food stores are a necessity. And, you know, instead of gouging people, couldn't they give people a break? You know, discount some things and help people out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I decided to do that this month. You know, discount our flowers 25% till the end of the month.
Well done for you.
It's a luxury item, okay.
But it does cheer people up. It makes people feel special.
Right.
Well done.
And I thought, you know, till the end of the month, but just do it.
Yeah.
You know, what you lose on the swings, you gain on the roundabout.
Right.
It's very good. It makes people happy.
Give us that quote again.
It's a good promotion. Mm-hmm.
Give us that quote again.
What?
What
you lose on the swings, you gain on the roundabout.
That's a good quote.
That's an old quote, isn't it, Suzanne? You know? You have to think like that.
Right.
You know?
But that's
kind of... And I think that, you know, these businesses that are gouging, they could have kind of done the opposite.
Yeah, that's
give people a break.
That's
a lot of them are making a lot of money.
Right, that's counterintuitive though. Yeah, that's counterintuitive though. You know, I would think you like raise prices during a hurricane and you lower them afterwards.
Right. Well, it's bad for morale, but business.
You know, may I honestly say though, I did not see that.
What?
the place gouging. Where I shopped, and I don't want to call one
no,
name
I'm,
against
well,
the other.
I'm looking at, you know, today's Guardian, you know.
Ah, all right, from newspaper report.
Price gouging, it's in the government are looking into.
Well,
that.
Then if it did happen, followed upon people prosecuted, that'll
right.
stop yeah, well, the next time around.
That's what they're saying today.
So hopefully,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine you'd see more of that probably in the you know, the building supplies business would be my guess.
Well, we may not.
But I haven't seen it personally.
Have seen the end of it. I mean, right. I read certain reports you probably did where also we're supplied out of the Carolinas, is it, mm-hmm. principally? And so what's going to happen to the cost of supplies and therefore the cost for the person who's building
yeah, but
the
you
house?
Yeah, you know, the whole logistics thing about how we get things on this island, we don't have that. We don't think about those things because we let Supervalue, we let other merchants deal with that.
I'm not sure. We tend to be reactive as a people.
Right.
That's my honest view. And I'm probably just as guilty of it from time to time as others. We are so bogged down in dealing with crime, dealing with the politician's dam, dealing with the civil servant's dam,
right.
pardon the language,
right.
you know.
Jim,
we are not forward thinking.
Jim, that's it. So long, you know, Susan. When last year I say dam, you know, she like turning into Bahamian right here. she getting Bahamianized right here.
Go back a long,
next
long
next thing she could be saying is go.
Hey, let's not push your luck there, Lester.
Go on, sorry for that.
No, don't be sorry.
No, sorry for the interruption.
Bottom line to all of this is the longer we stay in a reactive mode, the less productive we'll be because everyone only has so much energy in a given day. I think Dr. Minister's government endeavoring to be proactive. I don't think they've gotten it all right, but I think they've gotten a lot more right than it's gone wrong. Our job now is to push with them. But one of the things, for example, there are always areas that I wonder at. For example, what are we doing to upgrade the prisons? There was a report in Barbuda or one of the countries where the prisoners were out and free. Now, if
yes,
prisoners
yeah.
are always a challenge if they're out of prison in the manner in which they're not supposed to be. All right, but if they come out and they're angry and they feel they've been really abused,
right.
I mean, down the road, there's a payback date for everything. So what I would be very glad to see coming from the government now is, and in the future, is here's an overall strategy and a plan, which you keep talking about,
right.
Lester. And so everyone can look and see that's happening in that particular ministry. Oh, there are the prisons. That's happening in the construction industry, this and so forth. So we are more informed because the more informed we are, the more involved we'll be, the better citizens we will become, and then everybody's creative genius, I think, will be freed up because everybody is capable of being more creative.
I love that. And you know, talking about creative genius, we've got one in the studio with us today too.
Ah, good.
All right. Simba, give me another drum roll. Folks, this
and he looked around, ladies and
yeah,
gentlemen.
This, I thought I might have missed him. Folks, you know, every time I think my generation, every time I think we just got to skip my generation, you know, I run across somebody in my generation who, you know, who make me proud. This is an engineer. You know, he not only have it, hey, Susan, he's not only an engineer, he got his own little book here.
That's good.
So, you know, dude flowing around with a brochure. This is just a brochure of achievements.
Good to know.
But the one that I appreciate the most is he was involved in building this hemisphere best sports park right down at the QE Sports Center.
Oh, so the gentleman is in construction.
Not only construction, like he's like into like organizing construction and like buildings and like concepts.
So what difference does that make in a given project?
Well, no, obviously I haven't even tried to explain it. I can let him explain it. Nick Dean. Nick, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, morning, Lester. Good to be here.
Hey, look, so Nick, yesterday we had Monty Pratt on the show.
Right.
And this is what Monty Pratt is going to tell me. He said, Lester, you know, if we really get serious with construction in the Bahamas, we need to have, like, project managers, right?
Right.
Who thinking about the whole project from design to build, everything. So you know how we do it right now. So the way we do it right now is we have an idea.
Right.
We call an architect. He come up with the plan, and then they call the engineers, and then we do it that way.
Correct.
He said, no, you should do it differently. He says, when the guy is designing, you need to have a team involved in the design in the context of the whole society.
I agree. You need a coach. You need a forward-looking approach. And even before design happens, you need a feasibility study.
Wow.
I mean, because...
This is for commercial or commercial residential?
Well, I think this is for anything large scale where you're going to be investing a lot of money.
Tell me what large scale is, please.
Well, I guess that's relative, too. It depends on how much money you have to spend.
No, tell about the project that you was involved with around the sports center.
Okay, my company was responsible for handling the master planning and the civil infrastructure, and then the project management, construction monitoring for the sports center complex.
Right, and that's like how much millions?
The project contract value to the contractor was $50 million.
Wow.
Now they
and that's not including the Chinese part of it?
Not at all. They separated into two zones. They called the stadium itself the red zone, mm-hmm. and everything beyond the stadium walls was the green zone.
Right.
We did everything in the green zone.
Right. So overall, you're looking at about $100 million, a little over $100 million.
In value, yeah.
Right.
So how do you justify what you do? Can you, do you see, because...
I'm building, because
I am
an
individual.
You don't justify, just give you the bill.
But you see, it's the cost. I bet every homeowner would love to say, please come and help me out, sir. I need somebody to help me monitor because I know I'm probably being taken advantage of because I'm not knowledgeable enough. Right. Now, bottom line is, I bet that's a question you're going to find a challenge to answer because you need big scale to be able to pay. In other words, anyone producing some is going to and building some has justified to the shareholders. Even if it's a government.
Well,
so you have to justify what they're going to invest in the quality of your services, yes?
Well, it depends. See, the thing is, you're going to get what you paid for, right?
Well, I get.
Bottom line.
Yes.
And if you want a quality project and you're going to invest a great deal of money, especially when it's other people's money that you're going to be investing, you want to make sure you get value for dollar.
No, but there is a cut-off point. In other words, you're in a project for the $10 million up or $5 million up.
A cut-off point for me personally, like my company?
Yes.
But we're small enough that we can be very flexible. So we've done anywhere from private homes for, say, middle-income families.
Which would be how much money?
How much money for the home?
I'm middle-income. What does middle-income mean to you?
Let's say if you're going to build a home, say that's in the... $200,000 to $300,000 range, right?
Really?
Yeah. Like we've done very small projects. Sometimes we will do condition assessments for persons who are interested in purchasing homes, say in that value range as well.
Okay.
And that could be a very small thing. Like it could be a matter of me coming to the project site for 2 hours, taking a look around and giving my opinion on the general structural condition.
So me, the middle class citizen or someone aspiring to and building a home in that category.
Right.
Should feel free to call someone with your expertise to say, please give me a quote.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting. Folks, you listen to Connected with Lester R. Cox. Today's show brought to you by BTC. We've got business in the studio. We've got Jim Whitehead, the man who makes things look good. We got the man who know how to put things together, Nick Dean.
And when I marry again, I'm really going to need somebody to help me make things look good, Jim.
Double your data with BTC Mobile. When you sign up for a $25 plan, you will receive 12 gigs of data. Or sign up with a $35 data plan and receive 30 gigs of data now until the end of November. All you have to do is dial *205#. Select your plan and experience limitless data with BTC Mobile. Because when you're a part of the BTC family, the possibilities are limitless. BTC Mobile, the bigger, better network.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
There are leaders and there are those who lead. Leaders hold a position of power or authority, but those who lead inspire us. Whether they're individuals or organizations, we follow those who lead, not because we have to, but because we want to. We follow those who lead, not for them, but for ourselves. And it's those who start with why that have the ability to inspire those around them or find others who inspire them.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion. like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain.
Yeah, folks, welcome back to Connected. Today's show brought to you by BTC. We've got Nick Dean in studio, the man who is building the best sports park in this hemisphere. I can tell you that, and I can say that without fear of intelligent contradiction. Nick, man, totally enjoy you being here. We've got Jim Whitehead in the studio as well. Jim, you know, how flowers in Irma and construction go together, you know, we're trying to figure this out right now.
How they go together?
Yeah.
Well, when you have a big opening, if it doesn't look good, it's not going to be as big as it ought to be.
Yeah, we did,
Jim,
actually.
Jim makes it look good.
We did that for the track and field, you know, the world relay.
Oh, did you?
We did the flowers for that.
That was your arrangement?
Yeah.
Can I just come? Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, listening to Lester always brings in these very good excerpts that he has played on the show. And what that gentleman said to me was, heart, not head, is the real criteria for the best leadership.
Yeah.
Heart, not head.
See, now
they got to love you.
Now, Nick.
Yes, yeah.
Nick, have you
And
been?
I have a good team in my shop. We really get along together.
There you go.
I mean, I was away for a couple of weeks on holiday. I don't worry about a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And you really work to the minute, don't you?
Yes.
Because doing weddings and this, that, and the other.
Well, that is... I think you have to do that in everything you do, no matter what the job.
Right to the line. Exactly.
The customer is the most important person. That's the person paying your wages and everything.
That's right.
So we have to be timely. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to get back to people, especially this, all the social media.
But more importantly, when you're doing... A wedding is a production. It is a project. And we do... I think in the Bahamas, I don't know if Nick will agree with this, we do projects well. Like, mm-hmm. we could put on an IAAF relays, or we could put on a beat soccer. We do those kind of controlled projects. We do those pretty good.
Well, I think that depends on what your definition of well is.
Right.
I think from the outside looking in, the end product is usually pretty well done.
Right.
From the inside looking out,
it's chaos. But at
it's
the
hurting
end,
cats.
True, but at the end of the day, we find a way to make it happen.
We do, and I, you know, you asked the question how probably how Jim and I fit in the same conversation.
Right. Yeah.
Ironically, you know, we also worked on the getting the stadium prepped for the original 2014 relays.
Right.
So there was a CapEx works project where I don't know if you knew the condition of the stadium. And the surrounds prior to that event, especially the warm-up track, but it was in a state. So they had some $5 million required to upgrade the entire facility, and they had to resurface the new track even. So So we would have worked on the same project in completely different aspects.
I didn't see much of that $5 million in flowers.
No.
What did you have?
Yeah, we ain't trying to borrow. You got to worry for that.
I didn't see $5 million in engineering services either.
Let me ask you, why are we not better, not only here but in other parts of the Caribbean, of maintaining better?
That's
I have gone to the stadium, disgraceful, glass covers broken off where the fire extinguishers stored, lights in disarray, not as clean as it ought to be. Can you do anything in that area? Is it possible for your country to morph into also a carry-on?
Now, you see,
back and maintain.
Nick, before you answer,
why not?
She could get away with the broken glass.
Right.
Not the clean part.
Well, see,
stadium is spick and span.
It is not spick and span.
It's
not when I was there. Now, maybe when you went.
I think it's a mindset.
Right.
I think we are happier to build than we are to operate and maintain.
Okay. Why is that, though, in your view?
It's probably cultural programming. I don't know. I think it's going to take an internal review as a nation for us to decide to do better in certain aspects.
But the overspill, if I may use that term from that, to me is we elect people to lead us, and then we just let them get on with it. See, we are not good at maintaining a certain level of attention that is required for a certain level of achievement, efficiency, etc. Correct?
Well, yeah. And the thing is, there has to be consequence for not maintaining. But this comes back to the flooding, right? We saw a direct consequence for not maintaining drainage wells and storm structures,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
Right. But typically with a building, you don't see a direct consequence to not keeping the building clean, not painting when it should be painting, not looking after certain things. There are knock-on consequences that add up over time, and we only see them 10, 15 years when they accumulate.
At the end.
And then it's time to build a new building
right.
instead of maintaining that building properly over that 15 years and extending the life to 30
yeah,
years.
You know what's a good example of what you're saying, Nick? The Rodney Bean building downtown.
Yes.
That's a mess.
Perfect example yeah. of just yeah. what can happen if you just ignore things.
Well, even the post office.
Oh.
The
different yeah, that's another, Clarence A. Bean building is another example.
What we
need to do is, and I think, you know, it's a metaphor for what we need to do in the country as a whole. We need to be a lot more proactive and less reactive. By people, I think, by far, we're very reactive, unfortunately. So that's why we end up with situations where we have to react to things because they've gotten to a state.
Right.
Whereas if we had been proactive, we would have had less of an impact and you could have addressed things before they get. I think of the difference between a snowball and an avalanche, right? A tiny snowball, if you stop it at the top of the mountain,
right.
it's easy to do.
But
roll down that mountain and accumulate. You have an avalanche at the bottom, so you have to react.
It comes down to discipline and being responsible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The proact and react are consequences of whether or not we're willing to be disciplined and take responsibility.
In addition to being disciplined and responsible, you have to be planners. You have to have a planner's mindset.
But not everybody has a planner's mindset.
No, but
that's
everybody
why we
should.
People like it. No, but not everybody. Well, I think people can in personal spheres, most people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the type of spheres in which you have expertise or Jim has expertise, probably not a lot of people because you have to have a passion for and you have to have the education, the knowledge, the experience for, which a lot of people don't have.
Well, you don't need
so
everyone,
it's a question of degree.
Everyone
of
to have that same level of expertise, but
no, of course not.
As Jim mentioned before, like if you relate back to the flower business, as with any other business, you need a good team.
Of course.
So you just need that component on your team.
Everyone we don't work as teams, so do we? You know, if you look at the Greek community here, and I'm not picking on them, I admire what they do. The Chinese community is two examples. I'm sure there are others. They stick together as groups.
Right.
They build together, and they have all become very, very prosperous as
yes,
a result.
Successful.
I don't see that happening so much in the Bahamian community. I may be wrong, but I don't see it.
I'd be curious to hear how. Let's take a break. I'd be curious to hear how you respond to that. You know, based on your individual success, because I think a huge part of it is we need to just take the lid off everybody for the most part, and let the people who could run fast let them run fast.
Right,
folks, you're listening to Connected. Back in a moment.
Uh-oh, running out of breath, but I got stamina. Uh-oh, running out, I close my eyes, but I got stamina. Uh-oh, I see another.
Double your data with BTC Mobile. When you sign up for a $25 plan, you will receive 12 gigs of data. Or sign up with a $35 data plan and receive 30 gigs of data now until the end of November. All you have to do is dial *205#. Select your plan and experience limitless data with BTC Mobile. Because when you're a part of the BTC family, the possibilities are limitless. BTC Mobile, the bigger, better network.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Yeah, folks, welcome back to Connected. We've got Jim Whitehead in the studio. We got Suzanne Black. We got Nick Dean, folks. We see your texts. You know what? Guess what, folks? Today, we're not going to get to enough of them. So, Nick Dean, you got to come back. Jim Whitehead, you got to come back. I think it's, we got a lot of texts here for you guys to deal with. I also seen some comments on Facebook. Kevin Wallace saying to the question, can small countries be important players in the global context? Kevin Wallace say only one. Gilbert Morris says yes, but self-respect and strategy are essential in cultivating such a position and that it becomes sustainable. Such a country must maintain strategic momentum by means of forward discipline and resolve. Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's why I love Facebook. Yeah, so Nick, this is Suzanne's question.
Right.
And in the context of how you've been able to move through the system, the personal success that you've had, mm-hmm. I believe that a big part of our problem in the Bahamas is not so much working together. It is the system that we operate in is just too confining.
I think it's both.
Okay.
You know, I think you have a lot of unnecessary constraints.
Right.
One of them being access to
red tape,
the cheap capital,
words,
right?
Right, to foreign capital. Now, you see, hold your thought already there. See, for me, John Rule is in my generation. And I'm saying to a guy like John Rule, if you can't fix the reverse side of foreign exchange, mm-hmm. you should not be in that chair. Because everybody who come on these shows, you guys say the exact same thing. Access to foreign capital.
Well, access to affordable capital.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
Right.
And I think one of the things I've always wanted to see was encouragement for domestic investment okay. instead of foreign investment.
Right.
Because we have Bahamians who have means and who have the ability to invest and generate our own projects. And projects that are more yeah. likely to be in the best interest of the communities in which they're placed.
And they don't yeah. get the same incentives.
They do not get
going.
The same incentives.
And you know, some people in government will dispute you on that point factually, because what they say is that the locals and the foreigners have the exact same incentives.
Where are our tax incentives? Right? Where are our tax breaks? Why can't I own a casino? I don't think they're the same.
Right. Interesting. And a guy like you are comfortable managing a $100-$200 million project. For you, that's like a piece of cake.
It's work,
right?
You know,
but you can handle it.
Sure. And we've been able to handle and manage other people's monies,
right?
And I have no problem with handling my own. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be incentivized in the same way that, you know, governments have successively tried to attract foreign investors. Why don't we incentivize Bahamians to invest as well?
Yeah, interesting. I think a huge part of that incentive would be to just give people an opportunity.
Right.
For the most part, when you deal with government, you know what governments always want to see? They want to see all the money first.
Right.
And I always tell them, life don't work like that. No one does have all the money first. You have the dream first, and then the money follows the dream.
But a lot of foreign investors don't come here with all the money. Sometimes they come here with the potential to perform in an investor capacity,
right.
And they come here and they borrow the money.
Right.
It comes down to credibility, and credibility is linked to trust, and trust
exactly.
is linked to what people believe you will produce, not in the short term, but over a long period of time. And we tend, I think there are two things. One of us, part of it is, in a sense, we tend to trust the foreigner more, because we're more, many of us do. No, I'm what
Nailed
I'm saying,
me
I don't mean me personally, but because we perhaps know less of them.
Right.
And
yeah,
because
yeah,
they
yeah.
can produce a quote-unquote track record, which we may or may not investigate, and there have been cases of that.
I agree with that.
But the other part of it is that there isn't, I agree with you, the elasticity here to promote incentives for national. I don't like the term local very much. To me, it's kind of a put-down, frankly, for national entrepreneurs.
I think one of the biggest problems we've had is we have yet to have a nationwide, forward-looking, comprehensive, holistic master plan for our country, right?
Well,
I think
that
should be
yeah.
done separately for each island, because every island has its own nuance and
right.
its own offerings. We can't take a one-size-fits-all approach. We cannot also let investors come from another country all the time and tell us what's best to happen on this particular island.
And that we do that. That's the way we operate.
Yeah, well, a lot of times in the past, though, with the greatest respect, though, let me just say this to keep us on an even keel, in my opinion, anyway.
Right.
We have done that because there have been payoffs for some of us along the way.
You think
yes,
kickbacks?
I think there have been. I don't know about kickbacks per se, but let's say getting a piece of the action, let's say being looked after by the vested interest. It has happened. We all know that. I hope we are now moving away from that.
Good. Well, folks, we have to leave it right there. Today's show brought to you by BTC. We had Nick Dean in the studio. Nick, thanks a million for being here, bro.
Thank you, Lester. Good to be here.
Hey, don't be a stranger, man. I want to see you and Monty Pratt together.
I'll be back.
Yeah. Jim Whitehead, thanks a million
for
being here.
Thank you very much.
You know, so you didn't get to talk about the indoor plants.
Oh, my
gripe about people not watering their indoor plants,
yeah.
especially in all these government buildings.
See, but what you don't know about them indoor plants is if you don't hire someone to water them,
it doesn't happen.
It ain't gonna happen.
If you're passing by, just pour some water on the plant, you know.
How do you decaf, right?
Suzanne, always a pleasure. Yes.
Thank you, Lester. Interesting.
Folks, have a great day. Colin Smith is up next.